our Bomb Wednesday service. I am your senior pastor, Naima Cochran. And with me, as always, is my minister of my director of helps, Mr. Karin J. Phillips. What are you drinking today, Karin, for this last toast to Kamala?
It's the last one. It's a nice Woolworth Reserve. You see, I put a little extra in there. This is the last cocktail.
What is it? Is that a cinnamon stick? What is that?
Oh, no, this is just a very nice glass.
Okay. I was seeing a little shadow, a little like something's floating there.
This is the last one for our sister.
Yeah, before, cocktails for Kamala.
Before she gets a new job. So.
Amen. We are going to speak those things that are not as though they were.
I'm claiming it. I already didn't put blood around my door frame. Okay? I'm like getting caught up in the past.
Yeah, man. My nerves are starting to get bad, but we're going to talk about next week as we get closer towards the end of the show.
Yes, we are past it.
Before we get started, I want to give a shout out to the Bomb Squad. I coined that. I just want to put that out there that I said it first. Last Wednesday, we had a family night.
It's a family reunion.
It was fun. It was the first time that all of us were kind of sharing a space, as it were. So, obviously, Ben, even, OG was up in there. It was really the whole crew except Jade and maybe Jerv. So we had like the Bomb guys, Amin, Trey, Waz, we had Zach, we had we had the girls from Crazy Sexy Cool, we had basically everybody representing every show. We had everybody representing every show, and considering the fact that most of us are new to the family, this was really kind of a way to introduce the entire crew to everybody and learn more about us and watch us interact with each other, which I really enjoyed. And we're going to be doing more of them. But.
I was jealous.
What were you jealous of?
I was jealous that nobody played Fuck, Marry, Kill with us because I love that game.
I mean, we don't do that.
I know, but like...
Would you like us to start playing Fuck, Marry, Kill?
No, not on our show, but I like... Okay. We just not the old, smart people. Like, I don't think they understand.
You wanted to be in the party group.
Like, I don't think they understand who we are.
Okay.
Really at our core. And I was just like, listen, I am awesome at this game. Like, don't let these degrees fool you. Okay,
so to the ladies of Crazy Sexy Cool, Karin would like to guest to play Crazy Sexy. I mean, to play Fuck, Marry, Kill with y'all, or you're welcome to come here.
Oh no, I'm going to get on their podcast.
You're going to go over there
one time.
Okay,
I'm going to reach out and like figure out, and I'm kind of scared because I just feel like
we're all in a text group together. Why do you need to reach out and figure out? We're literally all in a chat.
I know that. I'm just saying I don't know when I want to do it because it's probably going to be the highest rated. Because I know I'm not going to act right. I know I'm not going to act right on that podcast.
Okay.
I know I'm not going to act right.
That's fair. Good to know.
I'm trying to prepare myself.
Well, what I was going to say is that we're going to do more of them, but you have to be a subscriber to our Patreon in order to watch it.
So you give us the money and patronize us instead of giving it to that white man, you too can come fellowship. As we've told y'all multiple times, fellowship is just a word and thing that only we do. So come on in, drop that money and fellowship. Come on.
But if you don't,
that white man has stolen enough money.
Or until we do it again, you can catch the ladies of Crazy Sexy Cool on Mondays. The original Bomb Crew on Tuesdays, us on Wednesdays, obviously. Woke Bros on Thursday, and Woke Bros is going to be doing special stuff around the election this week and next week. And then you can catch Trey, rising marketing maven, by the way, marketing and branding maven. You can grab your J Balvin McDonald's meal and catch Trey and Growing Up the Same on Fridays. And you can ask him why I said to grab the J Balvin McDonald's meal.
Marketing maven. That sounds like some Steve Stout shit that I don't understand.
He is doing big things already. Proud of Trey. So before we got on air,
I feel like it's funny. I feel like I got in trouble.
You didn't get in trouble. But it's so funny because so I want people to know my so you can't tell my hair is wet and that's why it's in a side braid. And I have on a sweatshirt. And I have on zero makeup. I have on some lip gloss and some moisturizer. But
some popping ass earrings. Some popping.
And so yeah, or not because I mean if I'm not gonna do nothing else, I got at least had the earrings on, right? So but I wanted to give a shout out to dudes who can basically, as long as you got some lotion on your face, can show up on camera in this Zoom season of 2020. Y'all can look like Who Shot John if you want to, as long as you moisturize. However, for women...
In this patriarchal society.
In this patriarchal society, even like this looks like no effort, but... An hour ago, I looked crazy, and I looked crazy all day. And there's a lot of days where I look crazy until I'm like, oh, shit, I got a Zoom coming up in X number of minutes. So then it's like you got to calculate what's the least amount of time it's going to take you to look to reach a certain threshold of presentability. So I get on as we get ready to tape. And Karin.
Mm-hmm. That's my government name.
Makes a comment to Rob,
mm-hmm. our producer,
about how last week, you know, I had on an actual like sweater and top
Wednesday,
and how my hair was out and curly.
Wednesday, Naima showed up fine. Like, oh, it's some new people here who ain't seen me before. Fine. Like,
wow.
First brunch after COVID vaccine come out, man.
I think you're exaggerating. Nah, but okay.
The curls was popping. They was moisturized.
The curls were popping.
I knew you had rolled them the night before and slept with them.
No, I hadn't. I had actually washed my hair early that day and the night before I let it air dry. And that was the end result. Mm, okay. That was the end result.
I'm learning the potion. The curl potion.
Okay. The curl potion. So yeah. So it's weird that you had that, just as I was thinking, niggas don't know how good they got it, just to be able to just roll up.
And to be transparent with the people, like, this is the only virtual thing that I do, dress down in like a t-shirt or a hat, because if I'm doing CNN or NBC or ABC 10 out in LA, like, I'm suit, tie, sweater, turtleneck, vest, all that stuff. But since, right. You know, we're more relaxed here, I chill out. And if y'all would have saw me before 10 minutes ago, I ain't have on no clothes. So I wouldn't put clothes on. Because she be talking about how my shoulders be out. But I don't really wear clothes.
I thought that was our thing. I thought that was a gimmick for the people. I thought that was a thing.
Listen, I can't use all my sleeveless stuff in the wintertime. I got to save something or buy.
I was taking notes. I wanted to see how long it was going to take for it to run out.
I'm tapped out.
I figured you with the shoulder, me with the one shoulder, we could figure out how that works.
Okay. Look, it's clavicles all season. I'm with it. But we might repeat some outfits if you cool with it.
Yeah, it's fine.
Okay. All right, let's do it.
It's fine. This ain't nothing but things.
It's a shoulders ministry.
I'm about comfort first also. So there's that. Like this sweatshirt is a Russell Athletic. You can't see the R on it, but I took it back.
Listen, Russell always has good quality. It's like how Champion used to be before Champion got overpriced all of a sudden because Gen X or Gen Y, whatever they call it, discovered it.
Gen Z.
Like you used to get clowned for wearing Champion. Nah.
Well, see, I actually predate that. So before you got clowned for wearing Champion was the heavy, thick joints. Like, if you look at old hip-hop pictures from, like, the early 90s, everybody was rocking Champion. They used to be good and heavy. You used to be able to get a good, heavy Champion sweatshirt for, like, $50. And then they became the off-market brand that y'all was getting clowned for it somewhere along the way. And now they came back. But even now that they've come back, the designs are different, but it's still thin. They didn't bring that.
They didn't. The quality didn't come back.
Yeah, the quality didn't come back, which I miss. I miss being able to find them really heavy, heavy sweatshirts all the time. But anyway, I digress. So we got a couple things to talk about today, and we are not going to be here next week because we do tape on Tuesdays. The next Tuesday is election day. I will be working the polls all day, so I'll still be at the polls this time next week, because we tape at 7 p.m. What are you doing next Tuesday?
My plans are TBD, but I am waiting for some friends to text me back because I will be at someone's house safely drinking. Yep. Parents for a celebration drinks, or I'm not doing shit tomorrow.
For repass.
So, yeah. So I'll be somewhere drinking.
Yeah, I was hoping I would get assigned to our early voting day, but I can't be mad because obviously election day is when they really need the most hands-on people. But that day starts at 5 a.m. Mm-hmm. See, I'm not. But I knew that. Mm. I knew that when I applied. I knew it. So civic duty and all that. Fortunately, my polling site is 3 blocks away from my house.
Oh, okay.
So that part is easy. So I'm gonna go early vote tomorrow.
But
to get that out of the way.
5 a.m. Oof.
5 a.m.
You wanna
That's painful. So
you wanna start fasting now? Because that Lord, listen, you're gonna need the whole Trinity with you.
I'm usually like just going to bed at 5 a.m. That's the thing. I gotta figure out what that's gonna look like. But I'll get there when I get there.
Saints, if you're listening right now, is a moment where we're gonna put Pastor Naima on the prayer list. So she can get through next Tuesday. Yeah,
amen.
If y'all real saints, y'all know what the prayer list and how it goes. You know,
please put me on the prayer list.
Not the sick and shut in list.
No, not
just,
that.
Just the prayer list.
Just the prayer list. Please keep me lifted.
There you go.
I appreciate y'all. So before we get into, we're going to talk a little bit at the end about, once again, make our appeals to you guys to have your election plans in place, as we've done before. So we'll get to that. We'll close with
that. We're a week out. I'm going to cut y'all out. That's what I'm just letting y'all.
Yeah, we're going to get to that.
It's going to be real aggressive.
But I wanted to start. So me and Karin have like a whole, Karin and I have a lot of side conversations that have not yet made their way on air. They may eventually, some of them, a lot of them, some of them are amusing. But one of the ones that we have often is Karin, to be a public figure, you're very anti-social media.
I'm stealthy.
But how stealthy really are you stealthy. Yeah, but like, you're literally a public figure. So can you explain this to me? Explain why you have this... what your aversion is to social media and why you have committed yourself to life. So you have Twitter, obviously, and you're relatively active there. You do LinkedIn, which you've told me also has a robust DM.
Best place to shoot shots.
Activity happening, which I was unaware of. And I didn't know how, I knew LinkedIn had kind of become the new Facebook for people who were over Facebook, mm-hmm. but I didn't realize like just how active LinkedIn had become, like really on some social network shit.
I'm not part of that. I just go work there and maybe.
But then you do not have Instagram.
No. Never had Snapchat.
I never had Snap either. I'm too old for that. And we've been having a conversation about Clubhouse, which I'll get into in a minute. And you are vehemently against it.
Yes.
Why? What's your thing with socials, B?
My issue isn't with social. My issue is I am determined to make social work for me in the way that I need it. And I am a person that if you know me well enough and you've been around me long enough, you know that when I am locked in on something, I will bend it to my will. Regardless of what goes around, I am determined to make social work for me the way I want it to work for as long as I can do it. So being an original Facebooker back when it was just 50 schools on it and two HBCUs, Morehouse and Howard, I've been doing the Facebook games since 04, different accounts, public, private work, all that stuff. I jumped in the Twitter game in 09. And didn't have to do like a whole professional Twitter later in the game. But the real reason is privacy. Like when you write about race and you are unfiltered and keeping it a buck the way that I am, you watch the ones that have came before you and seen some of the stuff they had to deal with. So in order to dodge a lot of that, I have shut a lot of things down, deleted a lot of people, and some people take it personal. It's just like, no, I'm not deleting you. I'm trying to move you to another account and make this one something else. And a lot of it isn't necessarily for me. It's to protect friends and family of loved ones. Because the BS that comes my way, like, I'm built for it. I can handle it. I don't want strays catching people I actually care about.
Okay.
So I'm doing it in protection for them. It also doesn't hurt, as my high school youth organization leader tells us. She was like, look, there's nothing wrong having a little mystery to you, which is why you don't see a lot of pictures. You will get some here and there. But I'm not like constantly feeding the timeline or the account with things. But with certain platforms, like for instance, Instagram never made sense to me because I'm not a picture taker. I'm not going to pull my phone out and take a picture at a concert or an event or at homecoming. I'll jump in them, but my mind is never like, get a picture of this. My mind is when I'm out, I'm in the moment. Like I'm there. I have a really good memory. I remember what it was like. I'm never like, take a picture. As I get
What about the video component?
The video component is like, I just, same thing. Like, I don't think to record stuff. I'll never forget the first time I had an interaction with Snapchat. I did not know what it was, and I almost got a fight over it. I'll never forget, I was at a friend's family Christmas Eve party. It was dope. Family had all this food, liquor, people over. You know, she had some younger people there. Everybody's having a good time. We were headed out downstairs, got in the elevator together to head to our cars. And I'm in this elevator with some cats I don't know. They were at the party. Everybody cool. Merry Christmas tomorrow. I saw y'all, but I don't know them. As we're walking out the elevator, like I'm in the lead of this group of like eight, and there's a dude next to me. And he just pulls out his phone and start recording. And he's like, yeah, we out here. We just left the spot. And like, I don't know what's going on. Some dude I don't know just put out his camera and start recording me. And literally, you just see me push him like, fam, what you doing? Like, like fist is balled up because I'm like, I don't know you. I don't know what you're doing, where you came from. Why are you recording me? He's like, no, it's a snap. It's a snap. And I'm like, what's that? But like, I don't like, if you see me out, like I always know what a flash is. I'm nope. Cause I'm out. I'm having a good time. Like I don't,
you got warrants?
No, I don't want to be like Devin Booker and Tristan Thompson are today. And those Kim K pictures that you were tweeting about, because if you look in the background, you see Tristan Thompson and Devin Booker in the back and you're like, oh, so they really is messing with these Kardashian girls. And you told on yourself because you keep Ken in the background and you thought you was on a little dip off trip with your boo. And now you're all over the internet. Everybody knows.
I mean, I kind of feel like if you deal with a Kardashian, you know, at some point you're going to end up in a photo. It's a statistical impossibility.
Yeah, but if I can control it, I can. But the big, also the second part of why I'm not on Instagram is because, ladies, I'm a reformed fuckboy. I have put those ways. There's proof. There's proof. I have people that will confirm it and, you know, take the stand on my behalf. You can check my references. But Instagram is just too many thirst traps and DMs to me. And when I say thirst traps, like, ladies, I'm not the dude that's going to fall for the bikini trip on the girls trip thirst trap. Like, that, I'm going to look at it, of course, see what you're working with. But that don't get me. Like, you and your work clothes and the pencil skirt and the pumps, that's what gets me. You, like, signing this new deal for this new partnership you just got for your side business because you got a 9-to-5 and you're an entrepreneur. That's what gets me. And I'm like, nah, I would be on IG shooting too many shites.
See, but I really feel like you have a misconception about what Instagram is. People don't all use Instagram like that. I damn sure don't use Instagram like that.
I would though. And I know I would not act right. Because like now, even on Facebook and Twitter, like I am the type of person, if I know you in real life, and you post a picture in your work clothes and you look really good, I will not like it. I will text you the compliment I want to give you. Because I think that's more personal. I think that's one-to-one. But I've had women being like, why you ain't like it? Why you ain't write that in the comments? And I'm like, why does the world need to know this private conversation? This makes sense. This is why I'm not on IG. This is why I don't ever like your stuff, because I can't tell you stuff in private that should be in private, because everybody don't need to know who I'm talking to.
I feel like you're overestimating the potential drama of Instagram, because I really do feel like it's what you make it. Because there are people who would say the same thing about Twitter, but you manage to navigate the space there.
Yes, because Twitter is very more connected to income.
Okay, that's fair. That's fair. That's fair. So if you had a choice, you wouldn't do Twitter either.
Yes, I would do Twitter, but I would do it differently. Like for journalists, I feel like Twitter is the number one social media platform. It's where news breaks. It's where you can post stories. It's where you can have some threads, especially if you cover sports or politics. Like you can react or comment in real time. All these other ones, like I don't take pictures. I can take a screenshot of my article on IG, but can I post the link in the comments?
Yes. No, not in the comments.
So where do I post the link? Because I need you to actually put this in my bio. But then I also need to cut off the comments so it ain't 12,000 folks.
You can do that.
Post doing this. So then I don't have any engagement from people who actually like it. And I'm just like, this doesn't make any sense, because what I need to use IG for work isn't going to work well. And the personal stuff of taking the pictures, I'm not taking pictures. So
all right.
It made no sense.
Okay. I'm not gonna take this into a like, here's how these different writers use IG. I'm not gonna do that. But so we've been having a conversation about Clubhouse, which right now is what's called an audio drop-in app. It's basically like an expansion of a chat line. So if you took a podcast and like a group FaceTime that was audio only and mixed them together, maybe with like the House Party app, you have Clubhouse. It's an app. It's divided by rooms. Each room is a different conversation, different sets of people. You flow in and out of the rooms the way you would do like, some people equate it to being at like a Soho house or a Noi house or something like that and going into the different rooms and different events. Some people equate it to a house party and popping in and out of different conversations. And it can be everything from like a structured panel conversation to a Q&A to like a bunch of people in a room shooting shit, whatever. So I asked you were interested in coming on because you talk and write for a living.
And I was like, hell.
And you were like, hell no. Why?
Because, like, as you know me in real life, as personable.
And you talk a lot.
And as much shit as I talk or engaging in all of the things that I am not that around people I do not know.
But there's mad people you know on the platform.
Yeah, but I like having those conversations in private with just those people. Once somebody else walks in that I don't know, I'm like, nah, who is that? I don't know them. Like, I've had people try to get me to join GroupMes, and I'm like, I don't know them. Mm-hmm. I only have 3 GroupMe accounts in my phone. There are all 3 very small groups of friends. My family sends texts. We have a family text thread. It has been on silent. I have never replied to anything because there are numbers of family members or family members, significant others in there that I don't have saved in my phone. And I was like, I don't know who is in here. I'm not talking. All my friends know, never add me to a group text with some people I don't know.
You sound paranoid.
Actually. No, like I just don't like it. Cause like, I'm like, who are you? Because I'm the type of person that doesn't have a filter. Okay. I need to be around people that understand me and know who I am. If you just gonna bring me in front of some strangers, and it's gonna be like, yo, who is this? And right. like, oh, well then like you don't get it because you don't know me. And like I don't like modifying myself. I like to be me all of the time. And anytime I can't be 100% Karn, like I don't like it. Which is why with strangers or like networking events. Nah, you never gonna catch your boy there. Listen, I've been to Soho House once. That's not the spot for me.
Okay.
Now, be with a group, I'm your man's. Solo, I'm good. I'm a pass. I'm gonna be at the crib.
Okay, that's fair. That's fair. So you just gonna hang on Twitter and LinkedIn. So ladies, if you wanna slide into Karn's DMs, apparently, apparently LinkedIn is your best choice.
My Twitter DMs be dry. But I also understand why this app is so good for you. Mm. Like when you told me what it was, I was like, oh, this is your shit. Like this.
Oh yeah, it's my shit all day.
Cause like I can see you bouncing from room to room, listening, jumping in with your little Naima words of wisdom, boom, jump back at this one. And you all up with me, I'm like, because I don't really be having a lot of tolerance. When right. you write opinion for a living, your tolerance or curation for others' opinions changes. Because then yours becomes very, like, I like the opinions of people who are educated about this opinion, not just saying shit just to say it. And you get real finicky about who you choose to listen to and read.
Oh, I definitely.
Like now, like it's in terms of like podcasts and reading other people who write on race or sports or things of that matter. It is a very, very short list. And I'm talking about I can count on one finger on one hand and have some fingers left over.
No, I'm definitely not just sitting up in any room with the foolishness. And I'm also not arguing with everyone who disagrees with me because it's not that different than like it on Twitter. Sometimes I debate people for sport because I like it when people are trying to get a rise out of me and they can't. But in instances where I'm actually getting annoyed, I tend to tap out. With the exception
like,
of a few.
We've talked about this, like I'm quick to block. If you engage like the woman who came for you over the bomb ass versus peace.
That day I was actually mad.
And like Naima's steady going back and I'm texting her like, block her. Block her now. Like in this. Block her. Cause after the first response, I would have been like, oh, you gotta go. Bleep.
That day I was actually mad. So that was different. But usually I'll continue to engage with them because I find that if you give irrational people, if you kind of just keep circling back with irrational people to ask them to try to explain themselves, eventually they trip over themselves. And I enjoy that moment when that happens. I enjoy the moment when their arguments fall apart.
Mm-hmm. No, it's
entertaining for me. If I have time and latitude. Yeah. If I have time and bandwidth, that day I was mad. And usually actually when I'm actually mad, I'm removing myself from the conversation because when I'm actually mad, I'm prone to say some really fucked up shit. Like with that chick, I actually did type fuck you something at one point and then I deleted it. I definitely did type that and deleted it. But
because I
don't really cuss people out on Twitter, even though in my spirit I've said everything in my spirit. Cause I actually have a horrible, horrible, horrible temper. It just takes a long time for it to come up. But anyway, I digress. I really thought you would enjoy Clubhouse. I still think you would enjoy Clubhouse. I still think you would, but I'm not gonna drag you into the space.
You know what? I appreciate that you know you are not.
And I think it could be beneficial to you because we can use the voices of well-informed, objective, multifaceted, multi-layered, Renaissance, you know, young Black men such as yourself.
I appreciate that. That's actually like the nicest thing you ever said to me. You know what? I would take this more under consideration if you start posting this podcast on your IG.
No. Nope. Bruh, how you got me hot right now?
That's what I'm always on your head about.
I only have like 7,000 followers on IG. It's really, I don't post on IG like I post in stories. I don't really post on IG like that. I keep telling you this. 7,000
possible more listeners. That's all I'm saying.
It's a lot of crossover. I hear you though.
That's all I'm saying.
Meanwhile, how you gonna talk to me about me not doing a function of work at work? Like, nigga. Really? Rob, we're going to edit this.
Shit. I've been sitting on this. I've been waiting.
I'm just saying, like, that was right. That was there. I was like, I know he's not going to say this on air.
See? This is why I can't be in rooms where people don't know me, because I don't know how to act something. I know myself. You have to know your weaknesses before you can work on them. Like, God, all right, fair. Yeah. Like, listen.
Okay. Okay.
This is Robbie. I'm the director of health ministry. I'm not an associate pastor. I'm not an assistant pastor, because I'm not gonna act right in the pulpit. This is why this role is so good for me.
Okay, fair enough. All right, so once Karin act right, while Karin is getting some act right, one of the main things I want to talk about, and I wanted to get into it, even though it's something that's still developing, I wanted to touch on it this week because I don't know what's happening outside, but whatever. I wanted to touch on it this week because who the fuck knows where we're going to be at the next time we gather around this table? Who knows what we're going to need to discuss? But so a couple of weeks ago, it's been going on longer, but a couple of weeks ago, I started noticing, you know, some of our Nigerian cousins and friends posting about SARS and posting in SARS. And actually, I take that back. Before I even saw it, somebody tagged me and said, Naima, can you please let your followers know about in SARS? And I was like, well, you know, the hashtag end SARS. And I was like, well, what's going on? What is it? And I had to do some of my own research because, for one thing, when some of us hear SARS, we're automatically thinking of the SARS virus. Yes. So I was like, well, what is it? So I did some research. So in simplest terms, Nigeria is its own fight that is like, if you took stop and frisk and defund the police and Black Lives Matter and meshed them all together, right? So SARS is the
like a super ointment of prosecution or something like, yeah.
Well, it's a special division of the Nigerian police force that focuses on, it's the special anti-robbery squad, right? So it's supposed to specifically be focusing on theft of electronics, money, petty crime, stuff like that. And the members of this unit have used its intended purpose as an excuse to harass young Nigerians specifically. Harass, search, rough up, confiscate material from.
Where have we heard something detain. Like this taking place said before?
Exactly. So over the years, it's been a problem. And as soon as it came to international attention, the Nigerian government announced that, no, the head of the Nigerian police force, I think, announced that they were going to disband the unit. However, they've said that before and nothing happened. Nothing changed.
Where have we heard something like this happening before?
Exactly. So it all came to,
remember, and even them body cameras are supposed to stop. It was supposed to have been a change.
Right. So, it came to an even bigger head last week when there was a peaceful protest in Nigeria, and protesters had been told, I guess this was like a bit of advice that was being spread throughout the activist community, which, as a sidebar, the organization and communication around the NSARS movement has been so impressive. They've put together entire organizations that are able to, like, they have phone lines set up if you need aid, if you need funding, if you need medical attention, if you need transportation, if you need legal help. They, you know, have pretty excellent communication channels. Like, just watching it come together online has been really impressive and inspiring. But one of the things that people were being told was that if you were holding up the Nigerian flag and or singing the Nigerian national anthem, that the officers wouldn't open fire on you. And last week that proved untrue. Mm. So
where have we heard something like this happen before?
Right. Mm. Right. So, you know, as these Nigerians are singing their national anthem, as they're holding up their flag, several citizens were gunned down, armed citizens, literally peacefully protesting again, were gunned down and killed. The president has spoken out against Muhammadu Buhari has spoken out against violence and protesting without actually speaking to the people who were killed specifically. Exactly. So, you know, they're under curfew. They found a warehouse late last week where all kinds of COVID aid, food, PPE had just been like hoarded and stored instead of being distributed to the people, which to me looks so much like Puerto Rico.
Something like that happening before.
Right. So I wanted to get one of my friends, one of my Niger Igbo friends, one of my friends from Nigeria here to
join us.
Address it. Yeah, to talk about it, tell us a little bit more about it. And I think we'll still have time for that because this isn't going away anytime soon. But I want to encourage you, like, you know, those of us here in the States, you may be watching it like kind of from a distance and just kind of watching it like as a news story that's developing. But they are actively asking for us to talk about it, help spread awareness about it, to be involved in the conversation, to watch what's happening, because it's going to take the international eyes being on them to actually put pressure on the government to create any change with what's going on with this SARS unit and with the police department in general, right? And it's a common fight that we have between us. Yeah. One of my followers was like, you know, as a person who is African, you know, as someone from Africa from South Africa who lives in America, I never thought that we would have this common struggle that we would be talking about, like this common struggle. Yeah, like, you know, Compton is just like Lagos, you know, like that type of thing. Like, he was like, I never could have imagined. But I think at this time, it's more important than ever to see where, you know, there are systems that are created where people who are supposed to be in service to citizens are actually abusing the same citizens. And just as people around the globe have taken up the Black Lives Matter fight, not that that is a uniquely American fight because there are Black people everywhere, but we equally need to stand in solidarity with our Nigerian cousins.
We do. And I'm so happy you brought this up because something happened a couple of weeks ago that pissed me off. Mm. Okay. And I'm still angry about, and it has to do with what you just said about how, like, this is a global thing for Black people, just not African Americans. But to also, but I think the you know, the world singing all of our struggles in different countries and different continents is the positive that we want people to see. But that doesn't mean that one has to be diminished.
Right.
And what I saw a couple of weeks ago, and I mean, if you listen to our podcast, you know, are one of, you know, the smart ones. You like in depth.
We hope.
You like context. It just frustrated me because the person who did this, and if you want to take the time to figure out who it is, go ahead. is a person that has this woman, the sister, has a very high ranking and a position at the Washington mm-hmm. Post and is an award-winning journalist. And I just remember there was a tweet a couple of weeks ago because she is a first generation African. I'm not going to quote this correctly. I'm going to paraphrase, but basically the tweet was like, all this stuff is happening in the world. This stuff is happening in Africa. And mm-hmm. folks is over here tripping about Ice Cube. And I was like, I immediately hit unfollow.
Right.
Because I was like, you're half right. There is other stuff going on as well. But I was like, that is a very insensitive tweet, and this is a very insensitive mentality, because it shows that you don't understand why, in the moment of the Ice Cube situation was a week or two ago, why it was so deflating to Black America. And right. like why we were tweeting about Ice Cube. Because if you knew the history and the context, you will be like, oh, like this makes total sense. It would be like if Africa was dealing with some BS and Akon sided with the oppressors. And everybody started tweeting about Akon. And one of us was just like, the hell y'all tweeting about a rapper for? Y'all be like, fam, it is so much deeper than that. It's so many more levels to that. Like, how can you say something like that? And I was just like, I am still...
And in fact, I've actually seen Nigerians challenge like their celebrities, their artists mm-hmm. who, you know, have large platforms, at least in the early days, who weren't speaking up and speaking out. Yeah.
And it's like, look, man, like everybody got their own battle they dealing with in their own house. And mm-hmm. I understand we need everybody on the same train. We need to all be on one accord. But don't dump on somebody just because they can't give 110% to your efforts when they trying to
get. Well, also, we can talk about
We can do more than one
thing. We can talk about multiple things. Like Twitter is open all day, 24 hours a day.
Especially, and I said that especially in the sentiment of, because we live in a country that historically loves to be in every other country's mess and their politics and their governing and their religion and trying to tell them how to live and breathe and think and go to war and love when we have never addressed our own shit.
Yes, very much so. Very much so.
I see it, like I'll go from 0 to 100 real quick.
No, I get that. And I mean, listen, I have said before, and I don't know if I've said it here, but for the record, you know, there has been on Twitter like this underlying current of the diaspora wars that keeps growing increasingly, partially due to, I might say, manufactured derision and division by bots who actually want to sow seeds of discord in between different factions of the Black community, right? Like it's, the ADOS. It's
so easy to pick out a bot, but people don't pay attention.
At all. So, but I've never subscribed to it, right? I think it's really silly. I think it's really petty. We have differences, but we are all people of the diaspora. We're all people of African ancestry, and we do have commonalities.
And when we we mean the world.
Because the Black man was the original man. I'm sorry. Because Jesus was... Okay, never mind. That's another show.
Jesus slept with a wave cap on.
Actually, he didn't, which is why his hair was still woolly.
You know what? E-40 said that Jesus Christ had dreads, he had shake them. Okay? Anyway. Who am I to argue with Earl Simmons? Okay?
I'm just saying. But in this case... specifically, there's a couple things. The first thing is, while I am saying yes, amplify and please turn your attention to the NSARS movement to the SARS must end. Like, there's a couple different hashtags because they start to become shadow banned in Nigeria after a while. I also want you to be selective in where you get your information from.
Unlock the hashtags.
I also want you to be selective in where you get your information from. Please seek out actual Nigerian sources, even if it's Nigerian American sources, because it's important to, I think, get information from people who are on the ground or from people who are getting it from people on the ground. So I'm saying that to say that, like, don't get it from Sean King. But
you know what you're trying to say? You're trying to say Google is free, but there are also good and bad parts to Google. Okay.
Right. I'm saying, like, literally look at who you're retweeting, look at who you're posting from, because we need to hear
of the article you're reposting.
Yeah, look at all of that. Look at all of that. Confirm your information from multiple sources before you start reposting, you know, graphics and memes and shit that you're not really clear on.
Copy and paste the writer's name in a Google bar and see what comes up. What else?
See what happens.
Where they worked before they got here. Right.
Because in this case specifically, it's not just important that we amplify the messaging to help turn attention, but that we get it right. Right? Like, there's a responsibility in amplification that I think we don't talk about enough. And this even goes back to the election. There is a responsibility in sharing information that I think the internet has made people forget about, or people never understood, or whatever have you. And I don't think it's just because I am a journalist or a source of information that I think this way. There really is a responsibility to make sure that you aren't not, you know, like, advancing some bullshit. And especially when you're trying to, when you call yourself trying to educate people or trying to advance a cause or trying to bring awareness, if you are sharing misinformation, then you're doing harm.
Yeah.
That's actually what it just comes down to. If you're sharing misinformation, you're doing harm.
And what the internet has made people is lazy.
Very lazy. Very lazy.
It happened to me twice in the last couple of days. Somebody tweeted me and was like, I had tweeted about something, and they was like, well, hey, has this happened? And my response was, Google is free. And they got mad and was like, you ain't got to take it there. You getting all spicy and all this. And I didn't respond because my response was going to be, fam, me answering the question for you was just going to be me going to Google and to the right source to tell you, when you could have did that yourself, because Google is free.
But you know what I learned, Karin? Some people genuinely do not know the right things to put in to look up the answer to what, to the question.
Oh, they don't really know the right hashtags to look up when he's trying to find some chick to thirst after on Instagram. So no, true. People know how to do things. They just be lazy and don't want to do it. Like, for instance, a couple shows ago, I went off on my Deion Sanders rant, right? Something that happened last week, I was tweeting about it, and Jackson State got a violation. It didn't happen nothing happened that Deion called. It happened before he got there. So I'm just like, told you, here's what I've said, here's links to this. And then people came back, was like, if you read it, you would have saw Deion didn't do this. And I was like, he's still at fault, because I was like, given what we know factually about Deion Sanders, I guarantee you he didn't do his due diligence in the interview process and ask about this to know that it was coming, because the NCAA will alert you in some type of way to tell you that an investigation or a violation is on the way. So I addressed that and addressed other things that come with it in a quote tweet of my own tweet. So here comes these uneducated, don't read books, Jackson State alums in my mentions. And I literally had to tweet another tweet later, was like, y'all accusing me of not reading when y'all haven't read my timeline to see all of the things that y'all are mad about, I have thoroughly addressed over and over.
Mm-hmm.
But because you can't read or click and scroll half an inch to see, oh, okay, he is right. You just want to be mad. You want to be loud and wrong and then accuse me of being loud and wrong when I'm like, nah, fam, I'm extra loud and I'm extra right
Not extra loud, because extra one, right.
I'm not lazy like you. Two, I know how to Google. Three, most importantly, I have a skill that as when I say this, you're going to raise your hand like the Holy Ghost hit you. I am good at reading comprehension because somewhere along the line, we stopped teaching kids reading comprehension. And I don't know when it is stopped, but people don't know how to comprehend.
Reading comprehension, reading things for context clues. Oh, like, I think I use the word context a lot. Y'all should know this by now. Context is my favorite word.
Context.
Especially on fucking Twitter. I really do try to go and make sure there's a thread or if there's another tweet or if there, before I respond, I don't always, I'll admit, sometimes I'm guilty of it. You see one tweet and you jump on it instead of going and see what the whole thing says. But at least,
We all fall short.
We all fall short. We do, because, you know, none of us are perfect.
But it's just a sinner who fell down and got up.
But if somebody says to me, or if I then see that, okay, I rushed to judgment, I'm gonna own that. And I think that's the other thing, is that people can be shown clearly you're dead ass wrong, and they're either gonna double down on their wrongness somehow, just because pride, or then just not respond at all. But anyway, I say that to say, when we're talking about something like the NSARS movement or the election, these things are so, like, context is so important. Context is so important. It makes all the difference, and it makes all the difference. Like, there's nothing else I can say about that. It makes all the difference, because there's one thing to have a fact. It's like when we were talking about barbershop politics last week. It's one thing to be able to just state something. Mm-hmm. It is another thing to understand what you're saying and be able to explain it. And that's the part, like, people get right to that line. They're like, I'm going to say this thing. And then if somebody asks what's that mean, I'm going to just pontificate on some bullshit, because I actually didn't stop to understand what it meant before I repeated it.
Hey, can I give you a great example?
Yes.
I'm going to give you a great example that it takes Twitter and it takes barbershop politics and it takes the election and everybody involved in it in like 30 seconds. When people be like, Joe Biden was with the 94 crime bill and Clinton signed it, and now he got Kamala running with him, and she was out there in California locking black men up. One, you dumbass niggas, let me give you context how this works. The context that you don't realize is that Democrats, the party of black people, historically, is the ones who came up with the 94 crime bill and was asking Joe and Bill to sign it and push it through. And then when you want to bring in the Kamala standpoint and be like, she was locking black people up, Kamala was locking the black people up who deserved to be locked up. She wasn't locking up free people. She wasn't locking up people and grabbing them off their house. She was locking up people who broke the law.
So, well, also, one of the things that people give Kamala the most grief for is a program that was actually meant to help people avoid jail time for parents of kids who were truants. If the full program was actually meant to help parents avoid jail time and get job resources, get family counseling, like, it was an actual program to go through to help the parents out.
And if you are getting in trouble in the state of California and this woman is an attorney general, I will ask you this question, people of the earth, specifically black people. If the person that is going to have and decide the legislations of how much time you're going to do, would you want that person to be A, a white man, B, a white woman, or C, a black woman? Who do you think of them options? Do you see, you will see the less time for the crime you willfully committed? Take your time, folks, and get back with your answer. We'll be back in two. That's my Chuck Woolery impersonation.
You know, Chuck Woolery is like heavy MAGA.
Yeah, but you know, I'm just with Love Connection. Used to,
it's a shame we lost Love Chuck. Like that
used to be this shit. Damn.
Context matters. Doing your own research to be and comparing different, even if it's things that contradict each other, contrast each other, to be able to read and determine which of the sources you trust more.
The feds coming for you.
What the hell is going on outside? Something's on fire, I think.
They coming for you.
When we finish taping, I'm going to go look. But I feel like something's on fire up the block because it's a lot. It's really active out there. Because it's been like 45 minutes been coming through. But anyway.
I told you to stop stealing out the building, fam.
You know what? When you can read different points of view and not just lead with your confirmation bias because we all have it, but actually like determine, okay, this is more detailed or this outlet is more trustworthy or I can find more backup to support this. As opposed to, I found this one thing that has no source, no date, no link back, no nothing, but I'm going to go with this.
What is the name of this site anyway?
Like, you have to learn to synthesize and process information and come to an actual conclusion based on your judgment.
Is this a Medium URL? What is this?
It'd be like ustrustednews.com. It'd be some shit you ain't never heard of with like 80,000 ads on it and like one paragraph that says exactly the thing you were looking for with no source. Mm-hmm. That doesn't, you think that's a...
With a shadow avatar and not a photo of an actual journalist next to it. Oh.
If a byline at all.
No. The person who wrote this doesn't have a Muckrake account. There you go.
I don't know what that is. What's that?
Muckrake is when you are a journalist. Muckrake is a site that aggregates like everything you've written and they create a profile for you. So like if you type my name on Google, Karn Phillips Muckrake would be one of the first three things that pops up. If you clink it, you will go to a site. It'll have my picture. It'll have my Twitter link to that. It'll have my Twitter bio, say who I work for, where my work has, all the publications my work has shown up for. Then it'll have all my most recent stories. And then you can keep going to all of the stuff I've ever like written and the link is there.
Got it. Okay. Well, yeah, to that point, I just need y'all to do better about the source that you use and share to verify them. So do a little research for yourself. It's just like Google's on your phone. It just takes another couple minutes, legit.
Yeah, actually, That's it. You know what? You can ask Siri.
You can search through Twitter, right? And look at who the person is who's saying things and where it's coming from. So anyway, we are about to run over time. So before we get out of here, once again, it's here. We're within a week of election day. It's been here.
I voted 3 weeks ago.
Our hope is that, as we've been urging, either you've already voted or you mailed off your ballot some time ago. If you have not mailed your ballot yet at the time that you are hearing and or watching this, do not mail it.
Take that shit in.
Take it in person. You do not have time. Shenanigans are afoot. I repeat, shenanigans are afoot.
Not MAGA, but she's also MAGA, but Mega Karen is now a member of the Supreme Court Justice.
She is now a woman who has
not dropped
any. A woman who has only been a judge for 3 years. Has she ever even actually had to write like a judgment summary or a dissension or any of that?
She don't even know how to zip up the robe.
She's even argued a case in front of a Supreme Court, not a state Supreme Court. You know what?
Listen. You want to hear something funny? The chief Supreme Court justice in Delaware, when I was in Delaware, I had more interaction with a chief Supreme Court. Chief State Supreme Court Justice of a state than she's probably had with one in her
entire life. It's sad. And I also, I'm just like, I would not even have, this is a tangent and I'm not going to state it, but I would be scared to step into this role knowing that I was woefully underqualified. Like,
Karens aren't scared of anything.
I would be terrified to have that responsibility on my back for life.
You don't understand Karens. Karens are the most protected and forgiven group of people on this earth.
But at any rate, we have lost the Supreme Court. Supreme Court is gone. Possibly, if Biden gets into the office, there will be a conversation about expanding the Supreme Court. They have not said it's on the ballot. They have not said it's something. He said it's something that he may convene a commission to explore. That means he's going to diddle daddle around with Tom. That means he don't really want to touch, because it's a hot topic. But
if we win the Senate and the House,
right?
Do that shit.
Okay, so but Karin, what are your? Because my sincere hope, like I said, is that you guys already have your plan in place, that you have urged your friends to have a plan in place, that you have either voted already, you have mailed in your ballots already, that you are still hitting your friends in the head about not only the presidential election, but about things that are important down ballot as well. Let's not forget down ballot, because we have so much, especially if you're in a battleground state. Karin, what are your last words before Election Day 2022, our people?
I'm gonna get real intimate, take my hat off and look into the mirror.
To the camera?
Yeah, to the camera. Don't fuck this up. Or I will. Or I will fuck you up. Mm-hmm. And I don't just mean this moment. I mean 2022, when there's midterm elections.
Yo, we need to keep our foot on the gas. This is not over on the third.
I mean 2024. Win, because I got the blood on my door frame for the Passover that this woman wins and she's a VP, and then she runs in 2024, and then you know we got to do this in 2026 to keep everything blue in the Senate and the House in the midterm elections. Then 2028, let's keep her back in office, and then hopefully in that 8 to 10 year run, counting now, that the Democrats have finally gotten their shit together and we have an order of process of who's next and who's next under them, so that we can just keep going. So at some point, we don't look like a party who had 17 motherfucking professional politicians get beat by the dumbass TV star. Because that's what happens when you don't have your house in order. This is what happens when you tell a generation of kids not to bully, and then a bully shows up and nobody knows how to deal with
it. And when you give everybody a trophy and tell them that participation matters, and when you put everybody's pictures on the refrigerator, this is what happens.
I had this two pictures happens. Put on my refrigerator in my life because my ass couldn't draw. But two times your boy got it right.
And listen, not all pictures can go on the refrigerator. The refrigerator is not an egalitarian space. It is for the best.
It's the same mentality I had when we had this conversation about WAP. Everybody can't have the WAP. That's all what makes the WAP special. Okay?
Right. The president should be putting the picture on the refrigerator and y'all motherfuckers got it fucked up. Mm-hmm. That's where we came to. Yeah, that actually is my party message, is that regardless of what happens, regardless of what has happened, by the time we all meet here again together, we need to understand that Tuesday is not the end. I think this is what happens. We get whipped up into a fervor every presidential election, and then to a lesser extent, you know, maybe for your local like mayoral races and stuff like that and governor races. But for the most part, it's like after Election Day, it's like, eh. No. Chilling, nah.
In there.
Because all the stuff that everybody complains about when we get to election season, we should be addressing and putting
plans in place. We could have had right if you went to the other ballot boxes.
Right. And also, like, this is also where local elections come in, because we need to start thinking about who we want to put in place in our various cities that can grow and rise through the ranks, right?
Because your mayor,
to state level, to federal
your mayor
level.
Is going to pick the police chief.
Yeah.
And then in the city I just came from in Atlanta, the mayor was up for being the running mate of Joe Biden. And if this goes right, I would not be surprised if Keisha Lance Bottoms wound up being in the cabinet.
Right. But let's also talk about even like your Senate, your state senators, you know, who eventually often rise to become presidential candidates, right?
Raphael Warnick, if you live in Georgia. Mm-hmm. Kelly Loeffler, gotta go.
So there are so many different, and then there are also like your propositions on the ballot. I want to make sure you, those, if you're in California, affirmative action coming back, that prop is on the ballot. You know, there are just things that you need to pay attention to other than just who's at the top of the ticket. It's important.
I figured it out. You know what it is?
What is it?
Let's treat every election every 4 years, not just, you know, 2022, 2024, 2026, local, governor, mayor. Treat this shit like motherfucking Amazon Prime Day, because y'all show up and know when the fuck that shit is. You're and so you're silly. Buying shit you can't afford with your broke asses. So if you can do that shit, take your bitch ass down to the polls, goddammit. Shit, y'all pissing me off, damn it. I need a drink.
All right, y'all. I'ma just
it needed flip. To be said.
Yeah, it's true. It's true. It's
too
true.
Much shit at stake.
It's
true. Man.
It's too much shit at stake. I'm trying to stay placed because my nerves are getting bad as we're getting closer. I know by Tuesday I'm just gonna be oof.
That Amy has not condemned the fact that she would argue against the death penalty for women if they get an abortion if Roe v. Wade is flipped.
Is repealed. It's
think about that, fam. Like, did y'all forget last summer? The rules in Alabama and Georgia about how you can get go to jail for an abortion or something like that. Like,
right.
It's real out here. It's real. Yeah. Like, it's nothing to play about. It's nothing to play about, people.
Sorry, somebody's apparently trying to get in my apartment right now, so I need to go see what that is.
Ooh.
Okay. Guys.
All right, Claire.
Okay. No. There's an apartment. I'm 3I, 3L often has Airbnb guests and sometimes they come here instead. And I think that's what's happening right now. But anyway, all right, guys, listen. Tuesday's a big day. You know, whatever it is, whatever happens, we still have a lot of work to do. And, you know, as always, we're going to thank y'all because I'm not only going to get too heavy and deep. But like I said, my nerves are starting to get bad because I don't trust niggas. But
and I don't trust white people. And I don't trust white people.
I don't
that's
trust.
Why and I don't trust when I go out in public.
I don't trust polls. I don't trust niggas. I don't trust white people. I don't trust the administration. So anything could happen.
365.com. I don't trust nothing until Wolf Blitzer says it on Tuesday.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't trust Nate Silver. I don't trust anything right now. So
Nate sold us a dream. Nate sold us a dream.
Oh, in fairness, God. Nate said she was going to win the popular election, and she did, but still. Anyway, all right, guys. As always, we thank you for being with us. You could be listening to or watching anything right now. You are with us instead. We appreciate you for that. Listen, subscribe, share, hit us, tell us what you're thinking. I'd love to hear what your plans are for Election Day. I'd love to hear if you're working the polls. I'd love to hear if you're helping out. Hit us, let us know, me and our Karin, we talk back. And that's it. Later.